Two Tones. It's episode 25, a storied number in the history of the great Carlton Football Club. Tony Moclair and Tony DeBolfo here. Tone, we're going to cast an eye on the 81-point loss to Greater Western Sydney before previewing a couple of things in this podcast, the match against Hawthorn, the retirement of a much-loved son of the Carlton Football Club, and a few other things. Firstly, GWS, Tone, your thoughts?
Well, Tony, it looked all right for a half, didn't it? And then regrettably it fell away, as it has often been the case through the course of this year. Look, we're struggling for cattle, let's be honest. We're just looking at the injury list right now, Tone, aren't we? And it's
well, it's a Chinese phone book.
It is a bit that way, isn't it? We're running out of paper to list the names. You know, you might want to go through them, but seriously, we are bereft of talent at the moment, no doubt about it. And a lot of our players are, undergoing surgery. The only good thing about that is that it's happening now and perhaps not 2 or 3 months from now. And fingers crossed, most of these players will be up and about in time for a solid pre-season, which in this day and age you just have to have.
Well, we were talking before the start of the podcast about where the cards may fall in the drafting period, who we might pick up, but it's quite a delicious prospect, Carlton at full strength next year with some quality pickups over the off-season.
Well, I suppose the season starts for Stephen Silvani, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Now, you know, and I mean, he's had a season to basically get the house in order and perhaps look at the processes and reflect on where this club is heading and what it needs. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of scrutiny placed on those who are at the club, those coming out of contract and so forth. But decisions will have to be made there, as they will indeed be on players coming into the place. So it seems that we're going to have, some early selections, and I'm sure Steve will be, moving heaven and earth to try and get as much young talent into the place as humanly possible. And that's where it's exciting, because I think with that happening, there'll be a new narrative at Carlton, and it'll be the baby blues. I think that's an exciting story that people will embrace, because what we will be seeing from 2016 onwards is the future of the Carlton Football Club, hopefully for the next 10 years and beyond.
I want to get to an article in the Herald Sun by Sam Landsberger, good football journalist, but not a patch on Tony DeBolfo, I'll tell you that much. Before that, I want you to speculate, if you can, Tone. Soss watching GWS play with Brendan Bolton. Presumably the players were out there to impress the new coach. Don't know what he felt about the 81-point loss, but look, he would understand, as we all do, that the cupboard is getting barer and barer when it comes to feeling a team. God, we've only got one round to go. But what do you think? What do you think was going on for both of those men watching that game?
Well, I think from the outset, Tony, they would have both preferred to have probably been a little bit more discreet. But I'm reliably informed that at that place there's nowhere to hide.
Yeah.
So they were very much exposed, So, however, they obviously had the opportunity to, cast discerning eye on what was being played out before them. And as I said at the start, what happened in the second half wasn't particularly pretty. So I suspect Stephen Silvani's had a fair, understanding of where the list is at for some time. And look, I'm sure that Brendan Bolton himself would have had a fair understanding of the Carlton list and where it's at and what needs to be done to it. So I suspect that both men are under no illusions that this is a big job confronting them. But that's a great challenge, for both men to basically, get things in order and hopefully get good young players in whose form can be fast-tracked to ensure that, after a long time in the wilderness, Carlton again becomes a force. So I think they would have looked on, with a real understanding of where the list is at and what needs to be done to get it right. I'm sure we're in good hands, Tony, in terms of the future of the team and where the players are heading. So let's hope so anyway.
That brings us to this article in the Herald Sun today, today being Thursday, an interview with Blaine Bockhorst, Dylan Buckley, Nick Graham and a player called Patrick Cripps.
Cripps, is it?
No, it's Cripps. don't bother remembering the name. You won't hear much of it in the years to come. There's a photo of them, and these four are good-looking enough, the four of them, to be a moderately successful boy band.
Is that so?
Thankfully, they are playing for the football club. And you mentioned...
I'll bear to your judgment there.
Well, we've mentioned green shoots many times through the podcast. If there's any sense of ennui or despondency, it's not coming through. Nick Graham... He's really impressive as a spokesman for the club, as a natural leader. You know, he has what you would call command presence.
And haven't we missed him in the engine room too?
Well, we really have. He's talking up the club and the prospects for next year. As I say, there's discernible optimism in almost every statement of his, but he did make the point, and I didn't realise this. Ed Curnow, who has been re-signed for another 2 years, actually played under... the Don, Brendan Bolton, at Box Hill. Box Hill, which, as we know, very kindly gave us Bocca Ron Diulio. So it's been a happy hunting ground for the Blues. But I didn't actually know that, Tone.
No, I knew that Ed Curnow had an early run at Box Hill, but I didn't, factor in the Bolton connection there. But it was very heartening to hear... what Ed Curnow was quoted as saying. You can help us out there with that particular line?
He said, Ed Curnow said he loved him, who said this? Anyway, one of the players said, the quote is, Ed Curnow said he loved him and that he was a really good coach. It was Dylan Buckley who said this. He said that he was a good communicator, but he could give a good spray. That's the word around the street. Hopefully we're not on the end of too many.
Well, it's lovely to hear that, isn't it? I mean, because right now I'm sure there's a lot of Carlton people, myself included, who might be saying, who is Brendan Bolton? Mm. You know, and I guess that will play itself out over the next months and years ahead. But certainly, I mentioned last week I was privileged to be at... The announcement of Brendan Bolton as coach, and then through the course of last week we've had an opportunity to just catch up briefly and say hello, and it's been magnificent to have that opportunity to get a little insight into the personality of Brendan Bolton, what makes him tick. And I think what comes through with him is that he's very much one for being a unifying force and bringing everyone together. And by that, I don't just mean the players. I mean everyone at the club. And everyone has to be on the same page to take this club forward. You know, the great clubs, and you look at Hawthorn as the model, they're unified from the top down. Mm. And it's the only way you can actually go forward with, the unification process in place. So I think that's what he will bring to Carlton. He will unify the place. Plus he's new, so he comes in with fresh ideas, and I'm sure he's a sort of fellow that has been waiting for this day. He's been a journeyman in terms of coaching and teaching, and I think he's got the wherewithal and the experience, having been at Hawthorn, to meet this next challenge, all power to him. We all wish him the best, because it is a challenge and a half. There's no two ways about it.
Well, it is interesting. We are going up against his old club. It's John Barker's last game as interim coach. He's done a magnificent job of making the playing group competitive again. It's going to be an interesting time the next time we do actually play Hawthorn, who we have not beaten in a decade. watching Carlton with a full list next year, with a different list, under Bolton's direction... and the apprentice going up against the master. That's definitely going to be it's an intriguing prospect for next year. However, we're in the here and now, and Bolton, you would think, has come over with Hawthorn's game plan. We do have some inside knowledge. I don't know how much help that's going to do us.
No, but, you alluded to the fact that it's been, a long time between drinks, so to speak, in terms of our last victory over Hawthorn. And Luke very kindly alerted us to the fact that round 6, 2005 was it. 49,018 at the Telstra Dome to see Carlton win the match over Hawthorn by 6 points in what was coincidentally Dennis Pagan's 50th game as Carlton coach. And I'll alert you to the goal kickers in that particular game,
yeah.
Tony. We had 5 goals, Jay Waite, 3 goals, E. Betts, and two goals to Lockie L. Whitnell.
Henderson? No, L. Whitnell.
L. Whitnell.
Yeah.
The vote getters, Brownlow votes went to Jay Waite, 3 votes, L. Hodge, 2 votes, and 1 vote, Carlton, D. Teague. And curiously enough, a young bloke named Carazzo actually hurt his calf in that match and hobbled off. And here we are a decade later, and the great man is now hobbling off into the sunset, having not played in a Carlton victory over Hawthorn in that 10-year period since round 6, 2005. Staggering.
That is going to be a very interesting football trivia night statistic, I think, and hopefully one that Carazzo shouldn't be remembered for, because his career as a, you know, born and bred Carlton man, and it's a term that's almost dangerously overused, a great servant of the club, but if you were to open the Webster's Dictionary and see the very definition, it would be a picture of Carazzo. It just would be. He was a fantastic player and clubman.
Very well said, Tony. And in fact, as a follow-on to what you've mentioned there about the Webster Dictionary and Andrew Carazzo, I've seen a photograph this week, and to me the photograph alone tells the whole about Andrew Carazzo. It's that magnificent photograph, and I'm not 100% sure what game was actually taken, where he's sort of beating his chest.
Yes.
And he's
it was against Essendon, wasn't it?
The 2011 final.
No, it wasn't. Essendon,
and he's just...
Oh, it was. Wow, God, yeah. What am I saying?
And he's just beating his chest. That photo is one that I reckon you could put up in the corridor here, yeah, or in the rooms, about what Carlton means to a player of that man's stature. And I mean, anyone that looks up, you know, I remember an old story that the late Jim Clark used to say about a photograph that was on the wall from the early days of Jim Park taking this great mark over a fellow named Tarzan Glass for Melbourne.
What a great name.
Yeah, and he said that they looked up, and they looked up with so much pride at that photograph, because it was a famous photograph, and Jim Park, who was later killed in wartime, carried this great stature as a Carlton Premiership player, a great respected figure at Carlton. And I think that photo of Andrew Carazzo is one that you could hang up on the wall for players that come into this place to look at what it means to actually be representing this club and wearing the dark navy blue Guernsey. And there's a photo that says it all. You know, they say a picture tells 1,000 words. That one probably tells 1,000,000.
Yeah.
I just love the pic, and it exemplifies the sort of player that Andrew Carazzo was and what Carlton meant to him. He was a great servant of the Carlton Football Club, and we can ill afford the loss of his ilk.
Well, yeah, you look at two notable departures this year. You look at the Henderson departure and the Carazzo, and it's fairly obvious who fans are going to grieve out of those two. You also mentioned Essendon. There was the famous Carrots getting cleaned up. Was it Lonergan?
Lonergan.
And for some reason, they just seemed Essendon seemed unusually worked up that night. Who would know why? That's one for the historians to speculate on, I guess. But what forever will concern me about that incident was just the lack of remonstration from Carlton. I mean, that was the call to action there, that to kind of man up and you know, say you don't do that to Carrots.
Yeah.
And it just,
they seemed, the Carlton players did seem remarkably benign on that particular occasion, didn't they, Tony? For whatever reason.
Yeah, who knows? But look,
What a player he's been. What a player he's been. And are they sending him off this week? I'm sure when he goes, will be carried off the ground, which we very rarely get right either.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about the history of players playing, like, Kernan wasn't carried off.
Yeah.
Silvani and Bradley, I think, ended it all with a press release.
Yeah.
We've never been able to get that right in terms of carrying. Even Kuta went around on a motorcade. Judd, the same. This time, I think Carlton supporters have the opportunity to say goodbye to a real warrior of the Carlton Football Club. I hope that it's he'll be carried off to the strains of Lily of Laguna, but yeah. If not, maybe you know, Bocelli's time to say goodbye would be appropriate. We'll have to wait and see.
Well, yes. Yeah, so get down to the MCG 4:40 p.m. and see off a great Carlton player who. I think I'm fairly safe in saying we'll still be involved with the club in some capacity. His blood runs dark navy blue. So
yes, and if he's pursuing a career with the umpiring fraternity, there's every chance he'll probably be training here. So he won't be going too far.
Yes, well, here's hoping his services to Carlton won't end at 2015. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. Of course, he's going to be involved in his electricity business as well.
Yes, yes.
And he did want me to say, as an Italian tradesman, less for cash. There we go. That's for you, Carrots. now, what else do we have to cover off there, Tone?
We are also probably just touching on a little bit of news around the club this week that I had the great pleasure of taking Kevin Hall for a tour with his grandson, Kevin Hall. Being a three-time premiership player here.
What year?
68, 70 and 72.
Jeez, what a period.
Wearing the number 3 of Mark Murphy, but also of Mike Fitzpatrick, of Hackenschmidt-Clark, who won a store gift.
Really?
Yes, yes.
You're forgetting the great Digby Morrell.
The great Digby Morrell wore the number 3 with great pride. And it was lovely for him to come back and just, you know, immerse his grandson to the place and photographed by the old number 3 locker that his Guernsey he wore with distinction for 170 games.
So his name is definitely on that locker. That's great.
His name is on the locker. And it was great to hear him as a former player looking on from afar saying, well, you know, it's been a tough run, no doubt about it, but hopefully things are on the up. And he okayed the appointment of the coach. He felt that what Carlton obtained in Brendan Bolton was a teacher and a someone that could take a young group forward. And he was quite upbeat in his forecast for the club and where it was now heading on the back of some canny decisions that had been made, you know, for the betterment of the club. So that was a nice moment during the course of the week, Tony, to meet with Kevin Hall.
Much in the grandson that impressed you?
Young Teddy.
How old are we talking?
Fiery redhead. I think he's coming up for 8 this week. Happy birthday, Teddy.
Is there a bit of go about him?
Yes, but we need to, you know, give the kid a couple of footy seasons let him, you know, acclimatise. But
I've got to put
knows?
You on the spot here.
Yes.
And there's a few, obviously. Great redheads for the Blues.
Oh, well, we mentioned one earlier, didn't we? We had Lance Whitnall.
Yes.
And Greg Towns was one. Gordon Collis.
Yeah.
Won a Brownlow.
Adrian Hickman. Was
Adrian
he a redhead?
Hickmott. Adrian Hickman. Graham Whitnall also was a redhead.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Tony Southcombe, who had a brief run here, a famous, unforgettable figure, red hair and glasses.
Yes. Jimmy Plunkett.
Jimmy Plunkett's a good call too. Actually, we've done all right there.
Yeah.
Question without notice.
Matt Dick?
Yeah, Strawberry
okay,
Blonde.
Okay, well, you put Wiley there, wouldn't you, as well, wouldn't
Wiley,
you?
Wiley, yes, yes.
But, okay, we're on to Strawberry Blondes now. Let's get back to redheads. That's not a bad list, on short notice.
Perhaps there's a bit of work to be done in order. Can we come up with an 18 for next week? I'll see what I can do.
Yeah,
18
right.
Redheads.
Well, yeah, the Carlton Blues. There you go. Last point of order or last item of business before we go, Tone. Patrick Cripps, if there is a, as I said before, Webster Dictionary definition of a breakout year, it is definitely 2015 for Patrick Cripps. There are always great raps on this kid, and it's great to see that potential, I guess the budding of that potential, if you like.
And let's make the point here and now, Tone, that as the season winds down, I mean, this kid is playing as well as he ever had at any stage through the course of the year. I mean, he hasn't let up. And again, you know, you remind yourself that he's doing it, you know, without Judd, without Thomas, without Gibbs, and now without Murphy. And, I mean, he's been absolutely
and soon to be
phenomenal.
Without Carrots.
Without Carrots, you know, and he's been absolutely supreme the way he's gone about his football. And he seems to welcome the heat and the attention that, you know, he relishes the the heat of the contest, and you know, players running out behind him must be so motivated by the way he plays. He's a great leader for the Carlton club, and you know, you keep having to remind yourself that he's less than 2 years into the journey. Mm. You know, and a greater part of last year was interrupted with a broken leg. But let's hope for the first time in the history of the Rising Star that Patrick Cripps' name is called next week. Although, you know, looking at the judging panel, I do have my concerns. We've got Matt Richardson.
You had more hope in the Warren Commission.
Yeah. Yes, I still stand by the grassy knoll theory. Yeah. But Matt Richardson, Warren Treadray, Luke Darcy, and Dermot Brereton, all key position forwards,
yeah.
Who will be, I hope they won't be the cheerleaders for Jesse Hogan, but it does worry me a bit that you've got players like that making the call. David King, he's never really given us much time, is he?
There's Kevin Bartlett there.
Kevin Bartlett's on, and Campbell Brown is on the record declaring himself as an unabashed Cripps fan. So
yeah.
Let's hope that, for the first time in the history of that award that, we get a Carlton man up on the podium, because if ever a player deserved to win the Rising Star, it was Patrick Cripps, surely.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And of course, we could argue we got dudded with Camporelli.
Camporelli we got dudded with, and then poor old Murph, in his first year had his shoulder broken up in Brisbane, which and he was a Monty to win it that year. So we haven't had much joy, but if there's some little ray of light to emerge from 2015, it's got to be the Cripper and him winning the NAB.
Question without notice, Tony Dolfo. Could Cripps win the best and fairest, the John Nicholls medal?
Well, you'd have to say he's going to be thereabouts.
Yeah.
I mean, my inkling is towards Murphy to win it, but I tell you what, he's been so impressive in so many games through the course of this year. I'm not sure how he will fare in the Brownlow, but it'll be interesting to see who polls the highest votes for Carlton there also. I mean, you would expect that he's going to be, on weighted numbers alone, would be certainly in full view of the umpires, and who would think would vote accordingly. So, yeah, I think he's got to be up in the top five, maybe top three at the Carlton BNF, I would have thought.
Can you think of a player who's won a BNF in a second year?
Oh, gee whiz, that's a good question, isn't it? Well, if Sticks? You're talking...
might it have
maybe.
Been?
Well, Judd, although you can't say Judd already had...
Actually, no. Well, ahead of him, Corey McKernan won.
McKernan did.
In his first year.
These are experienced players who right. come to their second
yeah.
club, to come as
yeah,
a okay. second club. So you'd have to think about that one.
Mm, okay.
Need some time to think about that.
That might be one for next week. Of course, the two tones will continue on over the off-season. That's an unofficial announcement because it's because it's not actually true.
Have you heard something that I haven't?
It's all commercial in confidence at the moment, Tony. I can't say too much.
You know what they say, Tony. You're always the last to know.
Yes. Welcome to media, the apparent business of communication. Well, that's it from us this week. It is the last game for, as we mentioned, Andrew Carrots, Carrazzo and John Barker, who's done a great job as filling coach and we hope is sticking around at the club. Get on down, Carlton v Hawthorn, Saturday, MCG, 4:40. The last game of, let's be honest, a trying season for Carlton fans, but the second half was much better than the first. You'd have to agree.
Absolutely, absolutely. And onward and upward from here, Tone. It's going to be a very, very interesting post-season period.
Couldn't agree more. And 2016 is, I think, going to be the first instalment of a thrilling and fascinating journey for the Carlton Football Club. I can't wait. Thanks, Tone. This is Tony Moclair, Tony Dolfo signing out for the Two Tones. We will catch you next week. Paesi che non ho mai veduto e vissuto con te, adesso sì li vivrò con te. Partirò su navi per me.